News, number 4.
At 15 hours Universal Time, here is the news on the Voice of America. I'm Frank Whitus in Washington. The United Nations has again called off weapons inspections in Iraq because Baghdad continues to bar Americans from UN teams searching for banned Iraqi arms. All four teams of UN experts returned to their base today after Iraqi officials said the Americans could not take part in the inspections of weapons sites. That pattern has been repeated 8 times since late last month when Iraq barred American inspectors and threatened to shoot down U.S. surveillance planes. Later today, the United States and Britain are expected to ask the UN Security Council to impose travel sanctions on Iraqi officials because of their defiance of UN resolutions. There are no indications that Iraq will back down and ease mounting tensions. U.S. Defense Secretary William Cohen, in a broadcast interview earlier today, said the UN stands ready to move if necessary.
I think there's inherent authority under existing United Nations authorization to carry out such strikes, should it be necessary. We're hoping that's not the case, but the important thing is for us to remain united in seeking the condemnation of Saddam Hussein's activities, seeking compliance, which is the most important objective we have in mind, not simply to resort to a military solution, but to keep the inspectors on the ground looking at those buildings, searching for chemical and biological activities on Saddam's part.
Defense Secretary Cohen. Newspapers have celebrated a judge's decision in Massachusetts to free British au pair Louise Woodward after reducing her conviction from murder to manslaughter. Most of Britain's national newspapers splashed the judgment across their front pages. Monday, Judge Hiller Zobel reduced the jury's second-degree murder conviction against Woodward to involuntary manslaughter for the death of an American infant in her care. Judge Zobel limited her sentence to the 279 days she has spent in jail since her arrest. The judge called the jury's verdict a miscarriage of justice and said he was guided by conscience to set aside the murder conviction with its mandatory life sentence. The chief prosecutor in the case, District Attorney Thomas Riley, is unhappy with the judge's decision.
What happened here yesterday was extraordinary. Judges, frankly, don't do that. Judge Zobel did. And then he culminated it with a sentence which was just unbelievably light. It was a slap in the wrist and it was a slap in the face. I think to every... certainly to the Eapins and to their family and for children that are abused. And what's the message here, that Matthew Eapin's life meant nothing?
The chief prosecutor in the case, District Attorney Thomas Riley. The judge ruled that the 19-year-old woman killed the baby by shaking him violently, but he said she did not act with malice. The sentencing hearing is due to begin today for a Pakistani man found guilty of killing 2 people and wounding 3 others outside CIA headquarters in 1993. Mir Imal Qasi could face the death penalty. The jury in Fairfax, Virginia, outside Washington, found him guilty Monday of all 10 counts in connection with the shooting spree. The special U.S. representative for Cyprus, Richard Holbrook, says his first joint meeting with the island's 2 leaders today was held in a very positive and candid atmosphere. But he says it is clear there are profound differences which will require a lot of work to overcome. Correspondent Al Pessin reports from Nicosia, where the 3 men met at the UN buffer zone.
Mr. Holbrook says he left Cyprus with a much improved understanding of the views of the island's 2 leaders, and he's not surprised there were no tangible results from what he called these informal talks.
Their disagreements are very profound. They are tenacious and articulate defenders of their points of view, but they are very willing to discuss things in a very open and candid manner.
Mr. Holbrook says the Greek Cypriot leader Glafkos Claridis and the Turkish Cypriot leader Raf Denktash showed some willingness to look toward the future, but he also said the last 50 years have created a very heavy legacy of distrust in Cyprus and that the 2 leaders have themselves been very much a part of that recent history.
There's a lot of work to be done here.
Mr. Holbrook says the United States is committed to trying to solve the Cyprus conflict, particularly with a view toward easing tensions between Greece and Turkey. Al Pessin, VOA News, Nicosia.
America's First Lady, Hillary Rodham Clinton, is in Almaty, Kazakhstan at the start of an 8-day tour of the former Soviet Union. VOA's Peter Heinlein reports from Moscow.
Mrs. Clinton's shortened schedule in Almaty includes a meeting with Kazakh President Nursultan Nazarbayev and a speech on the role of women in politics. Mrs. Clinton's plane landed a day later than scheduled. The arrival was delayed Sunday when a warning light indicated engine trouble shortly after the 25-year-old jet took off from an Air Force base outside Washington. The plane was forced to turn back and the takeoff postponed 24 hours while the malfunction was checked. The First Lady's tour will take her to two other Central Asian nations, Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan. She will also visit Ukraine and make two stops in Russia before returning to the United States November 18th. Peter Heinlein, VOA News, Moscow.
The Muslim head of the collective Bosnian presidency has rejected a Croatian plan for intensified relations between Croatia and Bosnia's Muslim Croat Federation. Bosnian President Izet Begovic expressed readiness for expanded ties with neighboring Croatia, but he insisted that this be done with full respect for the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Bosnia. This is VOA News. Egypt says it will boycott the Middle East and North Africa Economic Conference to be opened Sunday in the Qatari capital, Doha. President Hosni Mubarak linked Cairo's boycott to what he called lack of progress in the Middle East peace process, and particularly to the Israeli-Palestinian talks. However, Mr. Mubarak said Egypt's ambassador to Doha can attend Sunday's opening ceremony if he is invited. Tuesday, Oman said it has not made up its mind yet about Doha, leaving Jordan, Kuwait, and Yemen as the only Arab countries planning to take part in the two-day meeting. The United Nations Refugee Agency has expressed concern over a German court ruling that has denied asylum to two Afghan refugees. The agency says the two men might face persecution by the Taliban rulers if sent back to Afghanistan. One of the refugees is a pilot and the other a high-ranking Communist Party official from the overthrown Najibullah regime. The agency did not release their names. The Berlin court overthrew grants of asylum by lower courts, saying that during a civil war, there are no state-like authorities capable of persecution. The lower courts argued that the Taliban had enough control to persecute its opponents. The UN agency is concerned that the ruling will trigger more denials of asylum to Afghan refugees. A leading human rights organization has harshly criticized Vietnam for what it says is increasing repression in the Southeast Asian nation. As VOA correspondent Gary Thomas reports from our Southeast Asia Bureau in Bangkok, the report comes just as Vietnam is preparing to host a summit of French-speaking nations.
In a sharply worded report, Human Rights Watch Asia says Vietnam is tightening controls on political activity even as it moves towards a free market economy. The group says Vietnamese authorities are relying on detention without trial to curb political dissidents. It says the measure is a familiar one in Vietnam, as it was used by French colonial administrators against suspected communists in the 1930s. There was no immediate reaction from the Hanoi government to the report. However, Vietnamese officials have repeatedly denied there are any political prisoners in Vietnam. The report was released one day before Vietnam hosts leaders of the French-speaking world at the Francophone Summit in Hanoi. Gary Thomas, VOA News, Bangkok.
China has criticized proposed U.S. legislation that is designed to put pressure on Beijing over its human rights record. A Chinese foreign ministry spokesman today said the proposed laws are interference in China's internal affairs. Last week, the U.S. House of Representatives passed several bills that include a ban on visas for Chinese officials linked to forced abortions and increased monitoring of China's human rights situation. The bills were debated and passed just days after Chinese President Jiang Zemin completed his visit to the United States. The proposed legislation must now be considered by the Senate, which is unlikely to act on them this year. Russian President Boris Yeltsin is on his way home after wrapping up a three-day visit to China that both sides contend made great strides in warming relations. Mr. Yeltsin today visited the northeastern Chinese city of Harbin, developed by Russian rail workers at the end of the 19th century. He laid a wreath at a monument to Soviet soldiers killed while fighting the Japanese army in World War II. The Hour's News headlines, the United Nations calls off inspections in Iraq because Baghdad again bars American participation in the search for Iraqi weapons of mass destruction. The sentencing hearing is due to begin today for a Pakistani man found guilty of killing two people outside CIA headquarters. And Greek and Turkish Cypriot leaders meet for U.S.-mediated face-to-face talks in Nicosia. That's the news on The Voice of America. I'm Frank Whitis in Washington.
听力课堂，欢迎你！
听力课堂，欢迎你！听啊，点儿啊！